Good morning. Today's word is being brought to you by the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 19, and it reads,
Wait one second, Tanya. Whoever is washing dishes or whatnot, if you could, please, ma'am, please, sir, mute your line. Thank you. Go ahead, Tanya. Start over.
Okay. Today's word is being brought to you by the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 19, and it reads, Behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. May God add a blessing to his already blessed word as I pass the call.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to each and every one of you. Absolutely happy Wednesday. Thanking God for yet another day and another opportunity to get this thing called life right. If we know nothing else, we are absolutely positively not here for naught. I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord has a plan for all of our lives. And this morning, I want to talk about evangelism and discipleship and the cooperative effort that each of them require in order to make an effective witness for the kingdom of God. If we know nothing else, the kingdom of God is at hand, and we're in a place and a time and season in our environment, in our atmosphere, where we do have a responsibility to kingdom living, a responsibility to let the world know without a shadow of a doubt, without apology, that Jesus is alive and well, and that he's living on the inside of us. And I'm excited to be a part of that process. I'm excited about the opportunity that we have to make a difference in someone else's life, to translate them from death to life through and by the Word of God. And so this morning, I want to have a real casual, candid conversation, but full of enough meat that we understand that not only do we meet here to war and to intercede for others, but as we recognize Declare Victory as training ground, it is wonderful for us to encourage ourselves. It is wonderful for us to pray for people, but the reality is that we live in a world where people are losing their lives every day, and it would be a travesty for us to have the knowledge of Christ and not share it effectively, because the truth is, it is our responsibility to kingdom living and kingdom building. Here are a couple of key things that I want to bring to the forefront. I'll also be rattling off several scriptures. Here of late experience people not really understanding or recognizing what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It's often poked at in fun. They hung him high, they stretched him wide. Yeah. But the truth is that is the gospel. The gospel is proclaiming or preaching or spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to a dying world. And yesterday, we talked a little bit about fear. And to be very honest, sharing or demonstrating your faith is not always the easiest thing to do, especially if you are not persuaded yourself. If you're not inclined to believe that the Word of God is for your life, it is hard to translate the information that you have, the thing that has, quote-unquote, supposedly saved you, knowing that that is the absolute effect of it. But if it is still underlined with a question mark, your ability to be able to share your faith with conviction in love becomes rather difficult. So evangelism, the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness, a zealous advocate for the information displaying Christ, him crucified, him buried, and him risen. Discipleship. Technically, it began, of course, with the 12 followers of Christ, one of the 12 personal followers of Christ. And you can find being followers of Christ in Luke 10 and 1. And what it means is technically a person who is a pupil or an adherent to the doctrines of another follower, which means that there's a requirement for followers to make followers. The word says sheep begat sheep. So it is our responsibility. Now, we know without a shadow of a doubt that Christ is the only one that can draw. He's the only one that can save and sanctify wholly. And this is what my faith is predicated on, and we hear this so often, but we often get lost in translation. Romans 10 and 9, and it reads, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and or Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon his name. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know this is a peculiar conversation for quote-unquote believers and people who walk in faith and in love, but the reality is with about 65, 70 folks on the call and only about 13 or 14 that actually talk out loud on a consistent basis, we never really know who's listening. If we just keep it 100, we never really know if there's somebody on the line that does not know who Jesus is and the power of his might and in his resurrection. We never really know if somebody on the call is still questioning why they believe what they believe. And so I just want to make sure today that you really understand your responsibility. As we disciple people to the call, there are things that we have a liability for. Because the truth is, salvation costs us everything. And sometimes the discomfort of knowing that there's a level of accountability that we are held to can be uncomfortable, but the reality is we owe it not just to them, but even to ourselves in perfecting our faith. So technically, evangelism is just an announcement. It is the reassurance without a shadow of a doubt that we serve a true and risen Savior. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which is presented to you, unless you believe in vain. It is our responsibility on our jobs, in our homes, at the grocery store, and I'm not saying be imbalanced, and you guys know, if you don't know anything else on the call, because of the level of transparency, because of the level of clarity that we experience on the call, even in our brokenness, you know, we try to be very mindful, even with stuff like speaking in tongues. I believe in the gifts, every single one of them. I operate, I speak in tongues, I war in tongues, but I try to be mindful on the call because evangelism is the first part. And what I've experienced, because so many different people are on the line on a daily basis from so many different walks of life, from so many different places, I don't want to scare anybody half to death before we get them to a place of concrete understanding that not only is God for us, but that he desires that we know him. And then the gifts come a little bit later, and the operation of the gifts come a little bit later. Give me one quick second. Okay. And so evangelism and us outwardly witnessing and discipleship are a cooperative and or a joint effort. Evangelism is us actually going out into the fields. It is us actually going into a layman's territory, and you know you'll see and especially coming from PFBC, or I know Acts Full Gospel does evangelism and discipleship. I came from Truevine, which were absolute advocates of evangelism and discipleship. And we did a lot of door-to-door witnessing, and they would do a block party every year where they would invite people in only to give them something. There's something about a gift or a sacrifice that opens up the heart of someone who does not know Christ. And I'm not saying that everything that we do is about giving gifts, but for some reason there is an exchange that happens when evangelizing or discipling anyone. What is discipleship and what is Jesus calling us to? And I'm not going to read all of the scriptures, but I do want you to have them for your reference. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Is this a command or a suggestion? Does it mean that we are just to evangelize or let people find their way to Christ on their own? Does it mean we are to lead others and teach people the precepts of the scriptures and the character of our God? Does it require obedience and action on our part? Or are we disciples just by being Christians and being in church on Sundays? Well, the truth is, if you look at the old church, there was never really a building. It was always about going out into the field, and people would, the sheep would tell other sheep, hey, Jesus is coming, and I would love for you to hear this man who changed my heart. He changed my mind. He gave me a different perspective and outlook on life. God does not ask us to seek converts. He simply asks us to do discipleship. Discipleship is modeling and teaching Christian precepts and teaching people how to pray, teaching people about what it is to be operating in sound doctrine. It's Christian living, and it's a lifestyle of worship. Yes, we are sealed to evangelize, but that is not our main mission or our call. Once again, remember that I said they go hand in hand. When we evangelize, we must realize that it is a role of the Holy Spirit to bring people into intimate relationship with God. However, we set the standard with our lifestyle. We set the standard with our constant seeking after God and not being ashamed of it by any means. This is an act of divine intervention and grace. And so discipleship and evangelism have to have inclusively the power of the Holy Spirit, or technically we are just tingling cymbals or sounding brass. A disciple is one who grows in Christ and in so doing models and teaches those precepts. A call is extended to you and you respond, and a response is necessary in order to become an effective disciple of Christ. You have been given a precious and wonderful gift, but it has to be full of passion and conviction. Well, Dion, how do I get passionate and full of conviction about what it is that I believe? Number one, you have to believe it. You have to believe it. The word says that we are called to make disciples. There are only two kinds of people who cannot make disciples. And so there aren't really any excuses. Those two kinds of people, one who is not a follower of Christ, or one who opposes the will of God, denounces and denies and disobeys the will of God for their life. There is an absolute cost for discipleship. However, forget not thy benefits. Forget not thy benefits. There are benefits of being a follower of Christ. Now, technically, if you look at it like this, first we are to proclaim the word of God in the power of the Spirit. Now, one of the things I see most people struggle with, and one of the things that I struggled with very early on in my walk is I did not realize that I had power. I was absolutely clueless of the reality that the Holy Spirit lived on the inside of me, and I had access to kingdom living, and I couldn't earn it. I couldn't work hard for it. I didn't have the ability to manipulate it, control it, twerk it. I couldn't do anything but accept that God loved me enough to leave something behind that I would have the power to operate in. And you can look at 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And so it is with me, brother and sister. When I come to you, I did not come with eloquence of human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but in God's power. And so, of course, we know without a shadow of a doubt, we can't save ourselves from nothing. And a lot of times we'll get a word of encouragement and confuse it with the gospel. Well, the reality is that unless you understand and know and you're able to convey that our responsibility is to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, because salvation comes through repentance. It comes through an honest apology. It comes through it comes through really knowing that God loves us enough to give us a pass. And one of the things about old school teaching, and we talked about this on yesterday, was I was just terrified. It was stuff I didn't do, not because I loved God, but because I was scared. And trust and know that there is something to fear, and that's eternal damnation. But ultimately, it's not God's will to damn us to hell. He has absolutely no desire for us to burn forever. He wants us to live in the abundant grace that he provides for us. And that's something that unbelievers don't really recognize, because we have the fire and brimstone preachers. And again, don't get me wrong, there are always consequences for everything. But, and not that we can't mention the consequences, because we have to. We have to let people know that there is an exchange. Like anything else, I've never in my whole life gone in a grocery store and say, "Ooh, I'm cute, can I get this loaf of bread?" That's an unrealistic expectation. And so it is our responsibility with conviction to share with people that there is really a hell. Like that's not a negotiable idea or ideology. Second, we are to proclaim God's word purely, without adulterating it or defiling it. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2, "We have renounced secrets and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by settling forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." The implication here is that we must put aside our behaviors, which just means our worldly thought processes, our worldly lifestyle, the things that we do to justify things that we know are not in the will of God for our lives. And our responsibility is to live upright, so that our words are not our only witness. Our goal is that our lifestyle become such that it sets an example for folks. The third principle of sword bearing is that we are to have the purpose of being men and women under the authority of Christ. So what that just means is submitting ourselves, submitting our will, submitting our ideas, our thoughts to the knowledge of Christ so that he can, Matthew 6:33, and that's that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, that everything else be added unto us. The fourth and final precept or principle for bearing the Spirit or the Word of God is that we should have confidence because victory is certain. You know, we talk about Christ, him crucified, him buried, him risen. And to be real honest, especially if it's not how you traditionally grew up, that's hard to fathom. That's hard to take in and to recognize. Somebody needs to mute their line, please. It's not the easiest thing to persuade or convince someone of a principle or a precept that you're not sure of yourself. And so I want you to take a look. Okay, somebody has us on speaker, and I'm hearing myself back. Can you mute? Just use your standard mute feature, please, ma'am, please, sir. Amen. And I think that's one of the challenges, and I believe in the Love, Life, and Victory discussion, we'll talk a little bit more in depth about what it looks like, what it feels like to share your faith. At this point, because evangelism and witnessing has been so important to me for years, it's not hard for me to imagine, it's not hard for me to believe. But for somebody who's never really sat in the seat of understanding what it is to walk with God and to hear his voice and to operate through his power and his love, knowing that we're justified by faith, faith is, in and of itself, is the key to successful evangelism and discipleship. Faith itself is the key to successful evangelism and discipleship. I'm going to rattle off these scriptures. Of course, I won't have time this morning to go through all of them, but I want to encourage you to read them because your sole responsibility in existing is so that someone might know Christ through your life. And I think I'm going to talk about this a little while on the call because now we're getting into a season where we're solidified, where declare victory is established. God established it. Dion did not. And in the process of training and fighting and warring, that's all good. But if somebody leaves the earth and we had an opportunity to witness to them, we failed miserably. We failed as a people, and we can fight and war for our own people all day, every day. But at the end of the day, our responsibility is to go and make disciples, go into the uttermost parts of the earth and make disciples. It begins at home, and then it spreads abroad. So Luke 7:22, Romans 10:14-17, Luke 1:1-4, John 16:8, Acts 24:25, Revelation 20:11-15, Acts 8:29-35, Romans 3:21-26. And 2 Corinthians 5:21. The call is recorded, just FYI. You'll be able to listen to the playback if you missed those scriptures, and there are ways to fast forward and skip through. But for every person that's on the line this morning, I want to give you a challenge. And a lot of times in Christian living, you know, our Sunday service and sometimes even the work of doing church work can interfere with our ability to effectively impact the body of Christ as a whole. If we know nothing else, Declare Victory is about kingdom building and building up. It's about teaching by example what it looks like to have balance, because the truth is, I know I would probably be considered a Bible thumper or a Jesus freak, and that's all fine. But today I thank God for balance, because it opens doors for me to be able to witness to people that wouldn't otherwise hear me. Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might gain one. And there are ways and methods in which we can share our faith. If you know nothing else, I use social media. And sometimes I don't use a whole bunch of scripture or jargon talk or our Christian lingo and our acronyms and our action words for what we believe and how we believe it. But more than anything, encourage people. There's something about encouraging people to keep going and to keep moving. It's just my method. Now, it may not be how you do it. Some people may go into nursing homes, or your gifting might be with regard to children and teaching them. But we should all be able to identify a method of evangelism. We should have an opportunity anytime we're outside in the world, even if we do it electronically, even though I don't think that is the sure win way to witness. But you'd be surprised at how effective and impactful Facebook has been for me. I've talked to, countless strangers all over the world. There are people on this call in all kinds of different states and regions. And our goal is that's going into the uttermost parts of the earth. And it may be electronic, but it translates from electronic to a conversation. Now, everybody not cut out for that. And, of course, you have to use discernment and wisdom in doing so. But every single person that gets up every day and gets on this call, at some point there ought to be an impact, and not just on your life. Ruth Ann is probably a great recent testimony, and I'm sure there are a plethora more, but the young lady that was at her house on Thanksgiving morning to walk in the door and to hear us talking about Christ, and for her to be able to share stuff that she wasn't even able to share with her own family. Evangelism and discipleship takes trust. Mm-hmm. It takes that you trust yourself with what it is that you believe, and that you are open to people, because evangelism and discipleship take relationship. Even if it's superficial initially, even if it's surface at the beginning, there ought to be a way that people can see something on the inside of you that they know they need, and you ought to be able to effectively, if nothing else, you ought to be able to effectively take them to Romans 10 and 9. And lead people to Christ. You ought to have in your arsenal a way to usher somebody from death to life through the Word of God, not through your opinion. You ought to have a way to pray a prayer with a sinner, a prayer of repentance that leads them to Christ. And then, regardless of if you continue the journey with them, you ought to know what to do when called upon. And you ought to know that none can be saved but by the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. So it's great to have tools. It's great to learn ways to live. But without salvation initially being in place, tools and tips are useless. Jesus has to live on the inside, and it comes by invitation only. He is a gentleman. He does not bogart his way to anyone's life. But as believers, we ought to have the presence of mind that at any given moment, God might present an opportunity. And if it hasn't happened to you in the past, there's a reason that God has me sharing this today. You have a responsibility as a believer to build the kingdom. You have a responsibility being an innocent bystander, being a bench sitter or a church goer in this season. It's absolutely unacceptable if you have any tenure in the kingdom of God. You ought to be mindful, and you ought to want to add to the kingdom. The word says that he adds to the kingdom daily, but you ought to pray and ask God to make you instrumental in adding to the body of Christ. That's our responsibility. I don't care about money. I don't care about a car, a house. I don't care about a happy ending. Let me tell you what I care about. We are living in a dying world, and everything is changing daily. And in all actuality, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And somebody this morning, I pray to God that it encouraged you, but I pray to God that it convicted you. And it made you remember that you have a responsibility. We owe God the truth in love to somebody that doesn't know him. We owe our fellow man to know that our God is alive. And it ought to be more than just words. They ought to be able to look at our lives and see our witness. On good days, on bad days, in good times, in bad times, people ought to know that we serve a God that is well able no matter what it looks like. So with that said, I pray that it blessed you. I pray that it put something on your mind. I'm excited about the discussion because I'd like to talk about some ways to create an opportunity to share your faith with somebody today. I love you, but I promise you God loves you more as I pass the call.
Hallelujah. So good morning, Holy Spirit. Lord, have your way today. Father, when we say we're tired, you say I'll give you rest. When we say we're lonely, Father, you said I'm here with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When we say we are afraid, you said fear not, for I have not given you the spirit of fear. When we are broken, you said I will carry you. When we say we are anxious, you say be anxious for nothing. I will give you peace. So from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out our transgressions, wash away all our iniquity, and cleanse us from all our sins, God. Create in us a new, a pure heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and grant us a willing spirit to sustain us. Lord, you have searched us. Lord, you know us. You know all about us. You know when we sit and when we rise. You perceive our thoughts from afar. You discern our going out and our lying down. You are familiar with all our ways. Hallelujah. Before a word is on our tongues, you know. Lord, you know completely. You hem us in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us, too huge for us to attain. A new morning means a new beginning. Thank you for a new beginning, God. Thank you for a new struggle. Thank you for a new endeavor. Thank you for a new song. Thank you for a new walk. Thank you for a new talk. Because with you, Lord, by our side, we can overcome any challenge, any obstacle. Life has its way of knocking us down, but you, God, always have ways of picking us up and making us stronger than before. We can make it through every trial, every situation. In the midst of our battles, you are there if we just never forget that you love us and you have a plan for us. Lord, I thank you for this new day, for brand new mercy, grace upon grace. From your fullness, we have received your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You kept us safe from hurt, harm, and danger as we slept. Lord, thank you for that peace, God. I give you praise just for the ability to see this morning, to hear Dion's word. Thank you for that mighty word, sister. Thank you for JC and bless her son and his wife, God. If they are going through just times in their marriages that we do at times, just remind them why they became one and what your word says for a man and a woman to be husband and wife. I thank you for Valacita and Tanya for that scripture in Luke 10 and 19, reminding us of the power we have been given. I thank you for that. Continue to bless her and Noah. Father God, I thank you for my sister Dion. Hallelujah. What a wonderful word we got for her sharing about becoming effective witnesses for the kingdom and our responsibility for kingdom building and living and discipleship. What a rich word. I thank you for that. The truth of the gospel of you, Jesus Christ, because we are losing souls, Father God. And we can't be doubting in our own faith. We can't doubt and then be effective witnesses. I thank you for that, that we must know Romans 10 and 9. It must be real to us as believers. Lord, I thank you for who you created her to be. How many lives, because of her, yes, she has touched, she has changed, God. And it's not about her. It's about you being her, using her as a vessel. So I thank you and bless her right now, Jesus. You know all about her. Just continue to cover her. Continue to just bless Josiah as he's going through the healing process. Thank you, Father, for his healing. For Demarie and Deontay and Miss Jackie and Marcus and Tia, and I'm lifting up Diane this morning, Father God, thanking you for her life and my brother Marcus and Bernice, every intercessor on the wall, God. And you heard each petition of prayer, God, so speak to the hearts and minds of every troubled mind. Because you are with us even through this, God. Because you are Jehovah Shammah, a very present God. Lord, I lift up my sister Bubbly to you today, and I thank you for being her strength and her joy through this part of her process, God. I thank you for just keeping her mind stayed on you. And my brother Adrian, touch his body, God. Fill it with your peace, God. Take all his pain away as he's going through the healing, Father God. I thank you for brother Previs and for Claire, God. And you know, just touch that family, God. You know all about the situation and continue to bless their children and grandchildren. And I know my sister, Elder Paulette, God, praying for her for fire. Her neighbor lost everything in the fire. But I thank you that there were no lives lost, God, because material things we can't replace, God. Yeah, it's painful because there's lost treasures, but God, with you, you are our treasure. And I thank you for just her being able to talk about it, Father God. I lift up my sister Pamela Jordan and the medical procedure she just went through. Just continue to heal her body, God, and keep her. Just keep her, God, and keep her son. I pray for Gwen's mind and that you give it peace and you will regulate her in every situation and bless her children, God. And we continue to lift up Sister Julia, God. So many lives lost in her family, God. Give her comfort. Comfort the family. We do praise you for her praise report of cancer-free. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, God. We celebrate Brother Cornell and Brother Dan as they celebrate birthdays today. That's a mighty, mighty event. Mighty. Just thank you for a new life, God, another year of blessing those men. Anybody having pain in their bodies on the line, God, those that are fighting battles in their minds, in their households, on their jobs, God, just saturate each victor with your peace because you are Jehovah Shalom. Fill our homes with your peace, God. Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence, God? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we make our beds in depths, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide us. Your right hand will hold us fast, and you never let us go, God. Thank you for never letting us go, God. I thank you for just being our peace through every situation, God. We lie down and sleep. You wake us again, God, because you sustain us. We will not fear those tens of thousands of cells on every side, but you, Lord, are our deliverer. You fight for us, God. Thank you for being our mighty warrior, God. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I trust you with everything as a believer, the good, the bad, the ugly, the sad. Trust you, God, because you are our refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling. I thank you for that because you love us. Oh, how you love us, God. You will rescue us. You will protect us. If we just acknowledge your name, God, call on you in times of trouble, you will deliver us. I thank you for creating us all differently, God. Thank you for turning our mourning into dancing and our tears into joy, God. You care about all that concerns us. Thank you, God, for just being concerned about everything that concerns us, God. You are our shepherd, and we shall not want anything, God. Thank you for hearing our cry. Thank you for when we are in distress, we can call on you and you will rescue us. I thank you, God. Thank you that all things work together for the good of those who love you, and we love you this morning, Father God. We thank you. Surely your goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as I pass the call to Diane.
Father God, I just thank you for today, and I thank Dee Dee for that wonderful prayer, oh God. I thank JC for greeting, Valacita for hosting, and Tanya for that scripture in Luke. But God, I thank you for Dion for that declaration, evangelism, and discipleship. For God, you call us all to the Great Commission, Matthew 28, to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim your name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just give you praise today as I come before you with a heart of thanksgiving. God, I thank you just for being able to serve you through serving your people. God, I give your name the praise, for you are the God of all creation, Elohim. God, I thank you for being El Elam, the beginning and the end. I just give you praise today. God, I'm so grateful to be above ground this morning. I'm so grateful to be sitting here on the call, God, with other believers and those whom you have called to do the declaration. God, I just thank you for them. I thank you for Dion's obedience, oh God. God, I pray that you continue to bless her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. God, I pray over her mother, Miss Jackie, her children, Demari, Deontay, Josiah, and John Quevis. God, just bless them and bless them indeed. God, I thank you for the privilege today. So, God, I come interceding on behalf of your people today. But, God, I pray that if there be anything in my heart that's not pleasing in thy sight, God, I pray that and ask that you remove it from me today, oh, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that I will have no hindrance in experiencing you, no hindrance in the prayers that I sent up to you, oh God. God, I just thank you today for being a forgiving God. So, God, I ask if there be anything, forgive me, God, for any sin that I may have in my life or any sin that I've done unknowingly, oh God, and bring it to my remembrance that I may come before you in repentance. And Father God, I just thank you today just for your unconditional love. God, I thank you. I come interceding on behalf of marriages today, our children, our family, our unsaved loved ones, our neighbors, our coworkers, and God, also our enemies. You said to love our enemies and to pray for them, oh God. So God, I thank you today that you guard our hearts and minds, oh God, that we will be secure in you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, you said to guard our heart and mind with all diligence, Father God, for it is the source of life. So God, I thank you for the victory that you've already given us on the cross. You said you've given us everything to sustain life, and everything that you've given us is at the foot of the cross. So, God, I just bless your name today for our children. God, I just pray that you keep them in your grace and your mercy. Guard their hearts and minds, oh, God. Be a regulator to their mind. Keep their minds sober, oh, God. God, that they are raised up in you, that they are taught the things of you. You said to teach it to our children, laying down on our bed as we're walking about, as we're just sitting. God, to teach them your word. To teach them your law, that they will grow up knowing the God, the great God of creation. So, Father God, I just pray today over our children. God, I pray that you protect them when they're going out and they're coming in, they're uprising and they're downsetting, when they are in their classroom. God, I pray that you guard their minds. Keep them in your grace and your mercy, oh God. And, Father God, I pray over our marriages today. God, I just thank you that you are the giver and creator of marriage. You are the one who sets the boundaries. You are the one who created the covenant. So, God, I thank you. You said, those you have joined together, let no man put us under, oh, God. So, God, help us to walk in you. Help us to seek you in all things, in conflict, and when there is discord. God, I pray in the name of Jesus over our marriage. I plead the blood of Jesus, for the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy our families, our trust, our love in you, oh God. The enemy comes to cast doubt. So, God, I thank you today guard our hearts and our minds and keep our minds stayed on you. You said for those who keep their minds stayed on you, you will keep them in perfect peace. For you are Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. So, God, I just pray over our marriages and our children today. I pray over our families, oh, God, that we sit down when we have meals and when we have conversation, oh, God, to ask you and to sit in your presence to see what thus says the Lord about certain things that go on in our lives and in our families and in our homes, oh, God. God, keep us in perfect peace and let us keep the Lord God in our homes and on the tip of our tongue, oh, God, and in our mouth, oh, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up our unsaved loved ones today. For God, I pray over their lives, and I plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, that they will turn from their sinful ways, turning towards you and accepting your salvation plan, that they may receive eternal life, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, and not be lost in darkness. Father, I thank you for our neighbors. God, let us live in a manner that pleases you, oh, God, that you may draw our neighbors, oh, God, if they don't know you in the parts of their sin. For God, you said in 1 Timothy 3:16 that you appear to the body, that you were vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed to all nations, believed on in the world, and that you were taken up to glory on our behalf. So, God, I thank you today for your unconditional love. I thank you for the blood that you shed on Calvary's cross. I thank you, Lord God, just for being God. If it had not been for your shed blood on the cross, we wouldn't be here today. So, God, I thank you. And I pray for all coworkers and our enemies, oh, God. Bless them, oh, God. Even the ones who persecute us or who hurt us, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, I give you all praise and honor. For you are God. And, God, I just pray over those who will come after me, Marcus and Bernice, God. And I thank you for Dee Dee and all those who come before me, God. I thank you today, Lord God, just for being able to breathe the breath of life, being able to come into your presence with thanksgiving today. God, I just thank you for all those who have lost loved ones. God, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. You said those who mourn shall be comforted by you, by your spirit. So, God, I give you praise today. And I lift up the upcoming marriages, Sean and Dion and Jerry and Sabrina, Jonathan and Emerald. God bless them indeed as they seek you in marriage and as they prepare for marriage. God, and I pray for those who are seeking marriage. God, let them wait on you and not be anxious for nothing, but wait in intention and expectation, oh God, for your blessing upon them. So, God, I give you praise and honor today, and I thank you for the privilege of coming before you today. God, and I just love you, and that is just my prayer to you in Jesus' name as I pass the call.
So, Father, as we continue this time of prayer, we thank you, God, for every prayer that has gone out. We thank you for every spoken word. We bless you, God, excuse me, for every listening ear that is under that is on this call right now, oh God. I thank you, God, for Sister Dion for such a timely word and an encouragement to us and a call to us to go out and do something, to do more than what we have been doing, to continue what we are already doing and do it on a greater level. We thank you, God, for your ministry of reconciliation, God, that you have called us to tell others about Christ and to be an example and to go out into the hedges and highways and God, that we do it with wisdom and God, and most importantly, with heart. And so, Lord, we thank you for that word. We ask that you would let it burn upon us, on our hearts, God. Let it be with us always and convict us enough to stay on the job, to stay on the wall. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God, I pray for all of the pastors, God. I pray for our pastors now, God. They are going through. We want to lift them up right now, oh God. They are dealing with different things. Some of them don't even voice what they're dealing with, God. But you know, God. You know all, and you have them in the palm of your hand. So, Lord, I just pray that you would protect them, that you would keep them, that you would cover them, that you would put someone in their path to encourage them, to keep them on fire for you, to keep them focused on you, oh God. And we thank you that you're doing it now. Protect our pastors, oh God. Keep them safe from even hurting them their own selves, oh God. I pray, God, that you would help them to not be swayed by the people and be swayed by their situations and different things that are going on, but, God, that they govern the church by your word and by your spirit. And we thank you that you're doing it now. And pray for our churches, oh God, everywhere, every state, every city, every country. Our churches all over the place, God, they are different churches are experiencing some hurts and some different downfalls, and churches are closing. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, that you will bless those churches that are still open and are still moving forward to be more progressive, God. Lord, I pray that you will protect them and give them strength, oh God. Give them what they need to make it today. I thank you, God, that you are blessing them even now. And so, Lord, I pray, God, for all of our cities, God, every city, God, every leader of those cities and states, all of our states, oh God, and that you would bless them in a special way, all of our leaders in those areas, oh God, every single leader, I can't call them all out, God, but you know every leader in our city, no matter what they are. I pray, God, that you would bless them in a special way. I pray, God, that you would go into those meetings that those leaders are having, God, that their thoughts and their plans will be to improve the city, God, to bring down the crime rate, God, that their absolute goal, God, is to help with jobs and to help with the cleaning up the community and making a better place for us to live in, oh God. And I pray, God, that you would put that in their hearts, God. Lord, we pray that you rebuke and bind every ulterior motive, God, every hidden agenda, God, that you would go in and to just begin to just move out of the way everything that will bring our cities and states down. God, we know that you are able to go into our government and to affect change. And God, I pray even beyond that, I pray that you would help us to hold our leaders accountable for what they've been called to do, for what they've been elected to do. And we thank you that you are giving us the power and the authority to stand up and to do that. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. I pray for every legislator, God. God, you know the ones that need to be passed and need to be approved, God. I pray, God, that you would approve those that need to be and that you would help deny the ones that don't need to be passed. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I pray for our local governments all over the Bay Area, God. There are so many things that are happening, so many things that have been legalized that should have been left alone, and so many things that have been denied that should have been passed or approved. But God, you know all. You know you are aware of everything that we need in our governments, in our local governments. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord Jesus, to be more responsible with our areas, with our communities, our local governments, oh God. And some of us may even need to step into that world and being a part of the government. I pray, God, that you would help give us the strength to stand up and walk into that position, God, that we're able to affect change in all of our local governments. And I thank you for it now. I pray, Lord, for our military, God, all of those who are on the wall, that are out on the battlefield right now or in various positions. I pray that you will cover them, protect them, bring them home safe in the name of Jesus. I pray for our nation, God, our United States of America, oh God, and our President Barack Obama, God, as he is ending his last term. I pray, God, that you will bless his family, cover them and keep them, him and his wife, keep their marriage strong, keep their children protected, God, and safe, and we thank you for it. And God, as we enter into a new term for a new president. I pray, God, that you would bless the cabinet and everyone that will be responsible. God, that we hold them responsible for the job that they are to do. And we thank you for it. Now, Lord, as I prepare to pass the call, I pray that you would bless each and every person that is listening and every person that will hear the recording, oh, God. Bless Bernice as she begins to pray. And we thank you for every prayer that has gone up. Bless us, God, as we enter into this next phase of the call. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, as I pass the call on.
Our Father in heaven, the author and the finisher of our faith, we have come once again in the name of our resurrected Jesus to establish our legal right, and we take dominion. We declare victory. We thank you for forgiving us for words spoken, our bad thoughts and deeds that are not in line with the way you want us to be, for we know not what we do. As we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, humbled and acknowledging that you are with us, that your presence surrounds us, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, now. Think through our minds and speak for us as we pray for the anointing that comes with this assignment of intercessory prayer. We thank you, Father, for what you will do and how you will confirm your word with signs and wonders. We declare victory. As we take our phones off mute together, we will praise your name, Father of life. Thank you for
Lord,
the precious gift of today.
Amen,
for today is the day that you have made.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So much, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
He allows us to breathe, to feel our lungs.
That we can count on you, Father God. Because you've given us that.
To see that we can let go and allow
ourselves to just climb.
For what really matters.
Help
us to get into your word, O Father, and know what it is that you are teaching us. Our heart and our mind.
Thank you, God.
We see you this day and grab hold of all.
We ask you right now, Father. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit.
Like, we declare victory. We thank you, Father, because of who you are. We thank you for our
power.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this universe. Thank you for giving us each person here as intercessors.
Thank you, Jesus.
We welcome the Holy Spirit now.
Transform us, O God. This body of life. We thank you, Father. We thank you
through your Holy Spirit so that we can further you. Your kingdom today, so that we can be about your business.
Thank you, Jesus.
And not about other people's business. God is in us,
thank you for creating and
liking to
your heart. We
can please your heart.
Father, we need
don't
God
grieve your heart in any which way, God. So we invite
us strong and on our knees, oh God,
so that we could be made permanent, so that we could be made everything.
Thank you, Jesus.
Empower.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God. We thank you for just being you and for knowing all and sitting high and seeing low and for making all the things that are best for your people because we belong to you, God. You have called us to be. You have selected us individually to further your kingdom and go and make disciples. Out of the disciples, God, empower us today to be able to do that. And give us the strength and the courage that we need to go out and do this business for you, God. Let no weapon formed against us. Cover us from the thorn, God, so that any assignment against our life
can
be kept and voided today, one day at a time. We believe
God.
We trust you,
Christian ministry.
We know that we're covered in the
blood
as we go out into the world.
For the illuminating of our prayer,
that your angels, ministering angels, are surrounded by
the protection of our souls.
That there's an
intellectual voice inside
of our body and
mind, covered in the
word
that will come out of our mouth.
Thank you, Lord Jesus,
under the shadow of the Almighty,
Holy Spirit, Lord.
fingerprints are all over each one of us, and we thank you for that today.
For the manifestation, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, of your holy power, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You are the great
I am.
You are the King of Kings, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And God, we trust you today.
For that word, Lord God, that went forth this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And we invite you
for every word of prayer, Lord God, that I have
gone forth
this morning.
Thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Writing our names
for who you are and all that you do, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
There's no turning away. There's no running away. Nothing like that. God running to you. All that we can do from this point forward, and we thank you. Fill each and every one of us on the planet today. The blood of Jesus saturate us, that we're drenched in the blood, and that we're walking in the Spirit 110%.
Thank you for
God, and that we can be good witnesses. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins, Lord, and for empowering and equipping us, and reminding us to have the mind of Christ today, to have kingdom mentality, because we were chosen to be your children. And I thank you,
kingdom, Lord God. Kingdom, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God.
Great and mighty you are, Lord God. It's patient, it's kind, it's forgiving, it protects us, it gives generously. It is the greatest of all. It is love. Love that lights up the darkness, gives hope to the hopeless. Love that changes lives and saves souls. God is love. Father, we thank you today for your enduring, undying love for us. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to die in your stead. Help us love as you love in the name of Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen. Well, hello and welcome again to Declare Victory. Excuse me. My name is JC. I am your hostess. I hope you have been blessed by the call. We have one guest announcement to present before moving forward. I will turn the call over to Bishop Patterson, who will give us some information on his upcoming event. Bishop Patterson, if you're there,
well,
it's all
praise
yours.
The Lord. JC, I'm here, JC. JC, God bless you, mighty woman of God.
Amen.
We give God praise for the prayers that have ascended this morning. For you who may not be familiar with me, you may just be on the call, or I'm first time on the call as a listener, but my name is Stephen Patterson, Bishop Stephen Patterson, presently living in Wilmington, Delaware. Grew up in Philadelphia, have lived in Southern California for the last 20 years doing ministry there, and I give God praise. But I'm so excited. I first have to salute Minister Dion on the unction of exhorting us to evangelism and discipleship, because that's right along the line with what God put in my spirit to share this morning, because we have a word for Oakland. Yes, we do. Because the day is fast and the time is late, it's a dangerous thing to make one mistake. The earth is in a 5 o'clock rush, and Babylon is here with confusion and such. And yes, we got a word for Oakland. Men and women, they both look alike, and truth and lie are having a fight. The wise are called foolish, and the foolish are called wise. And people are living in many disguises. Words and voices are at their peak, and some people are still asleep. But we got a word for Oakland. We all know that drugs is here and liquor is there, and self-destruction is everywhere. Love is rare and hate's in the air. Many today, they just don't care. But we have a word for Oakland. The devil is glad and God is sad, and everybody's up just chasing a fad. Hearts are cold and few have their gold. Human life is just cheaply sold. But we got a word for Oakland. Yes, young people are dying and old folks are sighing, expectant mothers alone and crying. Worst of all, we see some men just cursing God and praising sin, scoffing while and laughing while hell is passing, time is closing, and some people stand posing. But we got a word for Oakland. I'm excited about this venture. You know, I've been blessed to travel the world, all through Africa, India, Europe, just sharing the love of God. And it was prophesied over my life 35 years ago that when my feet would touch Fisherman's Wharf, that my ministry would take to another level. And the last time I preached in Oakland in February, I didn't even realize it until we went to dinner, and the group that took me there, they took me to Fisherman's Wharf. And then the whole vision came back when the woman of God prophesied over my life those 35 years ago. And I believe with all of my heart that there's a great expectation in the spirit realm for something that God has uniquely deposited in me that I feel is compatible with some of the people that are on this line, and greater than that, some of the people that are connected to you. So I'm giving God praise for this. I'm not treating this as a regular revival. I'm in fasting. I'm in prayer. I'm focusing. The sermon selection, the theme that the Holy Ghost has given me, empowering God's people to turn their liabilities into assets. And the first night we're going to be talking about you don't know what you don't know. Yes, yes, yes. See, because when you know what you don't know, then you're teachable. Yes, God. On the second night, we're going to be talking about how to process our pain. And we need to answer the question that night, what is pain trying to say to you other than it hurts? And the name of that revelation that night will be, there is a ministry in your pain. And then on the following night, we're going to be talking about you are reserved for what you deserve, because there's a lot of inflated expectations that God is not in. And we have this sense of entitlement that causes us to be waiting on a street, my God, when the package will never be delivered, because we are reserved only for what we deserve. My God, I can't wait for that one. That's a revelation. Then we want to talk about the characteristics of true repentance and how to really spell sorry. You know, people say it all the time. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. You didn't mean to do just what you did. And I'm sorry, but we don't know how to spell it, because sorry has a behavior. The Bible says bring forth meat for repentance. So on that night, we're going to be talking about half-wet tears. And then we want to talk about marriage. We had to get a relationship piece in here. You know, everybody's struggling with relationships, and nothing is as good as it looks. You know, I remember those days. I used to look at couples and say, oh, my God, I want to be just like, man, when you see what the real deal is in the Holy Ghost, you will know that nobody's worth emulating but Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So on that night, we're going to be talking about think twice before you say, I do. And then on the last night, we're going to be talking about the courage to recognize your weakness. Because I used to be troubled by that passage that said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I couldn't understand how my strength was perfected in weakness. But when I dealt with the Holy Spirit in Revelation, he began to reveal to me that once I acknowledge and recognize my weakness, and the devil can't use it against me. Hey, my. Then I'm empowered, because I can't annihilate until I locate. Glory to God. Now, on Saturday the 10th, we're going to actually have two services. We're going to have a service at 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and then at 5 o'clock. Now, the 11 o'clock service is the unique service because, you know, when I used to go to church unsaved and try to find God, you know, I had a lot of questions, but there was never a forum to ask questions. And when it came to Sunday school or Sabbath school, if you asked a question, the teacher thought that you were trying to take over the class, or you couldn't really get no real response from the teacher because they were insecure about controlling the class so much until they didn't have a forum of free exchange. So we're going to open the floor for that's a total question and answer service. Yes, God, because I would have ministered all week. I would have said some things that may have pricked your thoughts, may have stimulated some thoughts on the inside of you that may have been touched and even birthed, my God, an awareness and a revelation that God gave you, but you didn't pay attention because nobody has trained you to pay attention to what God says to you through the wind of the Spirit. My God, yes. And I believe that there's some of us that are already connected in the Holy Ghost, that the Lord is going to use me to say some great things to stimulate the greatness in you so you can move forward in your destiny in Jesus' name. You know, we're going to be at Praise Fellowship Bible Church, and, you know, that's in actually Richmond at 5221 Central Avenue in Richmond. And I'm just excited, brothers and sisters. My cup is running over. The joy of the Lord is truly my strength, and I just thank God for this divine connection, you know, with your ministry, declaring victory. My God, what a phrase, what a power, and what a ministry, and what a paradigm. So God bless you. Thank you for sharing your time with me today, for prioritizing your time to stay online. You know, when we started the conference, we talked about a registration, but we couldn't afford, as we got together with the leadership of this vision, we had a consensus that we could not afford for the people who needed the revelation and the ministry the most to not be able to come because of a financial situation. So, of course, there is no registration fee. There is a registration because we just want to, you know, have an expectation of who's coming, how many are coming, so we can be prepared properly. You know, should we do a few things to be a blessing to people from time to time at some of the nightly services. But I'm excited, and believe me, brothers and sisters, one other experience that makes me excited about Oakland, there was a time in California when I was driving down the street. I'm almost done. And I was traveling down the street, and I saw this guy slap this girl. I skirt my brakes and I went over there and I said, my God. So I said, it looked like a pimp slap. He has his finger on her face and he left and I parked there and she walked over to my car and she was a working girl. And I said, no, this is not that kind of situation. I just was wondering, you know, because you don't look like you live around here. You don't look like you're from here. Where are you from? I'm from Oakland and my friend brought me down here with her and she's her friend. And he introduced me to this guy, and he's making me do this to pay my rent. So I said, well, if you want to leave here, meet me here tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Well, next day at 12 o'clock, she was there with her little package, and praise be to God, we put that girl on an airplane flight back to San Francisco. She couldn't believe it. She was crying all the way. She knew she'd have to pay me something. She had to pay nothing. Glory to God. But the next day, I was working with a group home, and the phone number that I had given her got disconnected, and I never saw her again. But I'm praying, that's another sign, that I'm praying that I will see her again. Because the Lord told me I would. We prayed, she wept as she got on the plane. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this ministry thing, this is why what Dion was saying this morning was so important in terms of what I call lifestyle evangelism, you know, where it's our every breath, because our responsibility is for anybody who meets us, they should receive an introductory course of what it's going to be like to be around God. My, my, my. So, Father God, we thank you this morning for this opportunity you've given me to share with the blessed people on this line, because we truly have a word for Oakland. I pray that we would get a list and put our friends and our coworkers, you know, and our ex-husbands and boyfriends and girlfriends and enemies and all the things that all the people that we know, you know, that we would invite, yes, God. And we ask that you would help us not be prejudiced in our selections, This is for black folk. This is for white folk. This is for Asians. This is for Latinos. This is for whosoever will. So may we not be afraid culturally to extend an invitation should the Holy Spirit give us that unction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your time today. And now pass the call to JC.
Okay, thank you, Bishop Patterson. We will now proceed. Were there any first-time visitors that did not get to say hello?
Yes, this is Minister Candace.
Minister Candace, welcome.
Yes.
Who invited you?
Hi. Pamela.
Pamela, and, well, welcome.
I work with Bishop Patterson.
Amen. Well, we're so glad to have you. Please call back and join us again.
Good morning,
sorry,
family.
Go ahead,
Moni.
Good morning, Moni. I'm sorry. Go ahead, son. To our new caller.
No, I was finished. Go ahead, Moni.
Oh, okay. I talked so fast, so I didn't mean to interrupt you. Well, welcome. Love to hear from you again. Is there anyone else that joined the call late and did not get to say hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is Adrian.
Good morning. No, Brother Adrian. Glad to hear you.
Hello. Talk, huh?
Good to be heard. Glad to hear you all.
Is there anyone else?
Good morning, Victory family. God bless you.
Good morning, Brother Jeff. God bless
Brother
you
Jeff.
As well.
Good morning. This is Sharita.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Anyone else? I'm sorry. Someone trying to say something? I can barely make out what you're saying.
Good morning, this is Cheryl.
Good morning, Cheryl. Anyone else?
Good morning, it's Pretty Patrice.
Hey, Pretty Patrice, good morning.
Good morning, Sally.
Okay, well, we hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is the Love, Life, and Victory portion. I thank you. Have a blessed day. I now pass the call back to Dion.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning again to everyone. There's somebody that probably should mute their line. I hear a bunch of background noise. If you just use your standard mute feature, please. I think you have us on speaker. And I still hear it. Once again, if you could, mute your line. There we go. Awesome. Amen. Well, thank you, Bishop Patterson, for that announcement. And we're looking forward to your visit. I want to go right back into the declaration. And just because it is so vital and the hour is a critical hour where we just be as candid as we can about our responsibility in being believers, that it's more than just us interceding. It is a collaborative effort between all believers, and that collective effort will do what it was designed to do, and that is make followers of Christ. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. It's our responsibility. He said that he would make us fishers of men. And how do we become fishers lest we be trained to be world mariners? That's what I call it, to do what we were designed and created to do. Did anybody get anything from the declaration? Anybody want to share before I begin?
Yes, Dion. This is Tanya. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good morning, my sister. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. And if you would just indulge me for a moment, I want to read something that God gave me on yesterday with your permission.
Yes, ma'am.
He gave me Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, and it reads, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them, because they fainted and were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into his harvest. I thank God for being on one accord with your message today. I thank God for knowing exactly what the time and the hour that is needed and the times in which we're living in. So God bless you, my sister, for your faithfulness, for your obedience in the hour.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Definitely a confirming word. And thank you for sharing this morning, Tanya. It's definitely that time and that hour, probably more so than it has ever been. So I'm excited to be in that number, as my grandmother would say. I'm excited to be part of God's army. I'm really, truly blessed that he called me out of darkness into his light. Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes, Sister Tanya. This is Bishop Patterson here.
Hey, Bishop.
You know, I just want to thank you for the twin barrel gun there of evangelism and discipleship, because talking about getting them in and then talking about keeping what God has already given us. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus prayed before he left here, that one powerful prayer in John 17, that, Father, I have kept all that thou hast given me. And a lot of times people come, but they don't stay, because we don't have that discipleship element
mm-hmm.
to harden that which God has given us. So I thank you for that, woman of God, because those two twins, you know, must hang together in order for the body to be effective. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you. And before I say anything else, I heard someone else trying to chime in. Who was that?
It was Minister Candace Dion. Thank you so much
sure.
for that word this morning. This is the first time I've been on the line. I am intercessor with Bishop Patterson's team, and this is the first time I've come on Declared Victory. But we are in collaboration with you all, and God really put it on my heart to do a prayer walk. And Dion, I sent you a text a little bit about that. Hopefully you received it.
You actually sent it to another Dion, and I'm glad that we identified. You sent it to my sister in the faith, who is my pastor's wife. Her name is Dion Coleman. I'm Dion Jackson.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I just wanted to collaborate with the intercessors, invite you to come out as we walk in the streets of Richmond on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon at 3:30, just to prepare the soil, prepare people, prepare the ground, cleanse the ground, repent in prayer, just for about an hour. And those that have like-minded spirits that have a burden for the Bay Area would come out and pray with us in the parking lot, on the street, the people we meet. With this discipleship effort. So, Dion, we're just all on one accord. It just makes my heart happy. We are all in alignment. I know the Lord is pleased, and this conference is going to be phenomenal. So as we move forward in this event, I just thank God.
Amen.
And Candace, you do know I'm walking with you. I will arrive, and I will be in that crowd walking
yes,
the streets
sir.
Along with you, because I want to
yes,
sense
sir.
And feel the terrain that God has called us to minister the word to. So I'm going to be walking right with you in that prayer group.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, it's Dee Dee Dion. Thank you for that.
Wow, I'm still in just awe of that word that was so necessary. But I wanted to also, with your permission, just if I could just quickly read the Romans 10 and 9. It's 9 through 10, but it's the Message. Can I read that real
yes,
quick?
Yes, Lord.
Okay, it says, the earlier revelation was intended simply to get us ready for the Messiah, who then puts everything right for those who trust him to do it. Moses wrote that anyone who insists on using the law code to live right before God soon discovers it's not so easy. Every detail of life regulated by fine print. But trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb up to heaven to recruit the Messiah. No dangerous descent into hell to rescue the Messiah. So what exactly was Moses saying? The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul. God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God, setting things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Thank you.
That was good, Dee Dee. Real quick before we go forward, once again, whoever had their phone, has their phone off mute and you're on speaker, we're getting that vicious feedback. There you go. Thank you so much. Dee Dee, that was perfect. I love the Message Bible. And if you're just getting to a point where you're starting to really seek out the truths of God for your life, if you're not accustomed to the King James Version of the Bible, I would absolutely have the King James side by side because it is most definitely helpful. There are some translations that you'll need to go right back to the King James for clarity for. But otherwise, the Message Bible just brings it so to life. So thank you for sharing that, Dee. And is there anybody else? Did anybody feel like that word for you gave you a responsibility? Was it a call to not just, it's not business as usual time, but like you know that you could do more, you know that you could give more, you know that you could stand in alignment with God's will for your life more? Anybody want to be honest and open this morning?
Good morning, Dion. This is Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffy.
Hey, I just want to say I thank you for your word this morning. It really encouraged me, and that's been my prayer as of lately, just to be more of a disciple, to bring more into the body of Christ. Because, you know, I get so wrapped up and so involved in my own personal battles and struggles and just dealing with life that I have to remind myself that I have a purpose, and that is to bring unsaved loved ones, unsaved strangers to Christ. So that's been my prayer, and this message is one that you brought forth has really encouraged me to really step up my game.
Amen.
Be more of a disciple. So
Amen.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Tiffy. Thank you for sharing. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes, this is JC. I feel like you were talking to me this morning. My niece calls me and she asks me, you know, about different scriptures. You know, she just accepted Christ, and I think like I feel like I should be doing more with her, you know, one on one, instead of just pointing the scriptures out to her, because a lot she don't understand, and I'm still learning myself. But I feel like, you know, like I can even lead her to the call. You know what I'm saying? To,
mm-hmm.
And she can grow, you know, with me that way. But I feel like I should be doing a lot more than I do. So, but I'm trying.
I'll say this, you know, it's an amazing thing. I thank God for just my early childhood examples. Even though I didn't get it, you know, it was just, you know, it was for Mama, it was for Grandma, it was, you know, because that's just what we did. But there was something that happened it in my heart, in my mind, when I understood and began to recognize that, number one, my life had purpose. And that literally for me, when I was introduced to the power of the Holy Ghost that God gave me access to, I did not realize that it was for me. And, you know, in my travels and in my walk, it is an amazing thing to experience people who have been in church their entire life, and they still do not realize that the Word of God is literally, it's an actual fact that He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about us. It's not a gag. There's no catch or no gimmick. It's not a maybe. It's not a kind of sorta. He means that it's for us. And so I believe that that is the hindrance. I mean, I know teachers and preachers and evangelists who will preach you down to the ground. But when you experience who they are, you like, now, do you believe what you're talking about? Because look to me, excuse my expression, look to me like you're not sure, like it works for them. And you guys hear me say that often. But in order to be an effective disciple, I remember a season of my life where people would ask me, now, what church do you go to? But it had superseded and exceeded church for me. It had become so personal that I could convey the message. I'm a firm believer, and you know, when you work in sales and stuff like that, I struggle if I don't believe in the product. You guys have probably heard me say that also. I struggle when I don't believe in the product. And I remember working for AT&T, and we were selling marketing and advertising strategies, programs, and platforms. And I believed in it. I believed in it. I stayed in the top 2% of not just in my whole entire department. And the reason that I stayed in the top was because I absolutely believed what I was selling would work for my customers. And so the conviction that was conveyed made it really easy for me to convert prospects into clients. Having the verification that the product was working was the evidence for them to renew their subscriptions with me. So I'll liken it to kingdom building. Now, contingent upon what your experience is while God is building your faith, contingent upon your exposure, contingent upon your results, because at the end of the day, we all want results, period, in every area of our life. And this was my struggle. When I found out that what we were selling did not have the power to do what it was stated, I lost my confidence in the product, i.e. I failed in the process because my mind had grabbed a hold of the fact that it didn't work. The only time witnessing is ineffective is when you don't believe what you're talking about. And I remember having a conversation with my ASM, who I love dearly. He's a wonderful man, not only him, but the director. By the time I left AT&T, I didn't have a title. I worked directly under my director, and anything and everything that she would roll out, she would pass by me. Because I had an eye for error. And so I'm saying that to say this. Sometimes in your witnessing, it's kind of like dealing with kids. When you're dealing with kids, if you are not your authentic self, if you don't mean what you say, they see right through you. Same goes with evangelism and witnessing, evangelism and discipleship. If you don't believe what you're talking about, they look at you and discount everything you said. It's like throwing caution to wind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your conviction has to be so sure. Your confidence has to be so grounded that, and you absolutely have to prove it. And you ought to be able to. You ought to have enough word in you that you can verify what you said. The goal here in everything, and we say this in the sales world, trust and verify. Okay, I'm gonna trust you, but I need some evidence. The evidence is that we are still alive. The evidence is that our sin did not consume us. The evidence is that from glory to glory, God has kept his hand upon us and not allowed evil to come near us. The evidence is that we may not have every single thing that we want, but everything that we need is right at our fingertips. Anybody else have anything? Because I could go on and on.
Yeah, I got to add this, sister,
go ahead.
To your point, just to show how biblical what you're saying is. When Jesus appears in the book of Revelation with a two-edged sword out of his mouth, it's not a sword that's sharp on both sides. The Greek language brings out it's a two-mouthed sword. So when he speaks, the person he's speaking to has to get cut first. And if they are not cut, then they can't cut. So that's a powerful revelation that gives the foundation to what I'm selling has happened to me. That's powerful, woman of God. God bless you.
If they are not cut, they cannot cut.
They can't.
Good, Bishop.
This is why sermons coming from pulpits don't cut. Don't minister. Because we're up there trying to preach, but we're not dealing with the ministry of the word. Now, the ministry of the word cuts us,
yes.
Convicts us.
Yes.
Then it's a living word. My God.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank
that's
you.
Good. Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, I have to add, and I hope it makes sense of what I'm saying, because when you were speaking and then what Bishop added, it just makes me realize that the cutting part, and you mentioned children. Children know that you're authentic, right? So you can do all the talking, you can do all the scripture quoting, but they're looking at you and they're watching you. And so for me, I'm blessed, and it's not a pride thing at all, and I hope it doesn't sound that way, but the lives of the children that I've touched and I've impacted, and I'm tearing up as I think about it, because God has placed me. I'm like the mother, the lady with the shoe, the children in the shoe. You know that story, because my house has always been the place where all the kids come to, not just my nieces and nephews, but other children who call me mom or auntie, and they've watched me through the years. Even when I was out there living foul, they would still be at my house, and so now I have so many of them that one just came from D.C. for Thanksgiving, and she came by on her way to the airport, and with tears in her eyes, she said, Mama, thank you. And I'm like, what do you thank me for, Naima? She said, because you were always there, and I just love who you've been in my life, and so many other kids. And I'm thinking now about how many of these kids came from, you know, I've been a single parent most of the time, and I never thought my impact was so strong. You know what I mean? So even the young men that are playing basketball overseas, and I mean, so many of them that have just told me that the love that I've shown them have made them grow into these mighty men and women of who they are today. And it humbled me, because I didn't even realize that I was pouring into so many young people. And so even my niece Simone, who's with me so much, she said, Auntie, you are the same. She said, you do a lot of posting, and you're funny, you're radical, but you love the Lord. And that right there means more to me than anything else, because they see me who I am. You know, I don't try to be anybody but who God created me to be. I hope that makes sense. So the word that God has placed in me is becoming realer to me day by day. And even with going through what we went through with Larry, you know, losing his girlfriend in April and then turn around 6 weeks later and his brother and niece, even that, God strengthened me to be a vessel so that as he's trying to lose his mind, I'm not losing mine, because I need to be strong for all these young people. So I get my purpose. I hope I made sense. Thank you, Dion.
Yeah, you made total sense.
Good morning, Dion.
Hold on 2 seconds. Somebody, okay. That speaker, whoever has us on speaker, once again, can you mute it? Because it's just super rattly. Amen. Go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
Okay, it's me, Mrs. Franklin. Just wanted to say everything you spoke on, you must have been in my head last night, because I was so thankful yesterday, because I'm teaching at my church foundation class that you guys have heard, but it was the last class last night. And one of my students has blessed me with a gift. And I was just so humbled and honored by that because, you know, I don't do it for anything. But it's with her words that said that before she started the class, she was fearful of some things. But after 9 weeks, she's no longer scared because of what was taught in the class through me. So I just was praying, and that's all I was thinking about was being made a disciple, because you guys all know my story of being shy and scared to go before people and speak, and just, you know, putting my fears aside through the power of the Holy Ghost and letting him use me. And to have this one who drove all the way from San Jose every night to press on and take the class, you know, 7, we end at 9, and 8 to 9. And just to have her say that and that I touched her life. And now that not only that the class touched her life, but she's sharing with her family that does not know Christianity. She didn't come from a household of Christianity. And she's Asian descent. And she is sharing with her family and no longer scared from, you know, in the beginning of what they said or how they thought of where she was going and the church she was going to, but to be able to just stand strong and trust what God is doing in her and that now he wants to use her. And these are the things she said. And then to find family at Thanksgiving dinner that were Christian, and then she was able to have a great conversation with them, and they encouraged her to keep going. And so all that came out last night. So everything you spoke on, I was thanking God for and just crying for last night in the spirit. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I love you all and declare victory. And God is good, and this is what it's all about, evangelism, sharing one another in a real way, because I'm still real. I, you know, I don't still know the Bible, the whole word, but whatever he gives me to help, because I've been there, I've been scared, and to be able to break a fear in someone else to start it, and I know that God is going to continue with her, that it's not me, that it's him, it's, you know. So just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Look, don't be diminishing, dwindling down what you just said. That's powerful, and that's what it's all about. It really, at the end of the day, that's all we kind of here for. And I think, you know, a lot of people struggle with what their purpose is and, you know, what the end result should be. I think that the Lord gives us the room to discover who we are in him in our process. And at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is that we know him, we're comfortable in him, and then he'll begin to show us how to move and where to go from professional to relational to everything else. But knowing him, loving him is the key to knowing you and loving you. And again, it goes back to that word that was shared on yesterday, perfect love casts out all fear. And because he is perfect love, and the ultimate goal is to reverence him, that we understand who we are, and then we can go into the world and be effective. Because you cannot love anyone, including you, until you know who you are and whose you are. It's almost impossible. And even people who, and I'm not saying, I won't take away from what anyone believes, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, when you don't believe the love that God has for you is authentic, it's really hard to love yourself. It's really difficult. When you don't believe the word of God for your life, it's hard to love you. And if it's hard to love you, it's hard to be an effective witness, not just with word. The word says, be ye therefore followers of Christ as dear children. And I think that element of as dear children keeps us from being self-righteous, keeps us from being so full of ourselves that we feel like we have it all figured out, because that's a lie from the pit of hell. And it's one of those lies that the devil will tell you real quick and make you feel like you better than, or like you know more than, or you greater than, or you got it all figured out. Honey, let me tell y'all right this second, when I say I do not have it all figured out, I need you to believe me. But I do know this. I absolutely know that God loves me. With all of my issues, with all of my struggles, with all of my faults, with all of my imperfection, I know that God loves me, which helps me understand that my faith is translatable in that language. He loved me so much, and if he could love me, and I know my heart, I know the things that I've done to disappoint him. If he could love me in spite of myself, and if you've never had a conviction that God loves you desperately, you think about all the stuff that you've done. Think about all the things you've got in the past for. Think about all the times where you denied him without using your mouth. Consider your expectations, and it will help you get to a place where not only can you effectively communicate your faith, but that you are inclined to, like there's something on the inside that will not let you shut up about this great and risen Savior who loves you beyond all of your brokenness. He doesn't care if you're purple or turquoise or black or white. When you understand that he's a God not of color, but a God of consistency. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Hey, Dia, this is Tanya again.
Hold on real quick, Tanya. There were three people that spoke. Let me get an order real quick. Who all was that? I heard a man. Who was that, Adrian?
Yeah, that's me.
Adrian, and I heard another woman. Who was that?
Yeah.
I can't hear you. Say it again.
Connie.
Oh, hey, Connie. Okay. So let's go Tanya, Adrian, and then Connie. You top us off.
Can I also be at the
time,
please?
Who was that?
Juliet.
Okay. I want Connie to top us off. So, Connie, go after Juliet. So, again, the order, Tanya, Adrian, Juliet, then Connie. Oh, is that Lisa? Lisa done went in the bathroom. Okay. Okay, y'all, hold up. Let me give a different order. Under whatever circumstance, Connie, I want you to top us off. But let Lisa go first because she's at work in the bathroom stall as we speak.
Well, yes, I mean, I can hear that. So, hey, I just wanted to remind us of, even after what you just said, Dion, we got to realize that, yes, we've been commanded to go, but he didn't tell us to go on our own. And in Acts 1:8, he said he would give us power.
Yeah.
To come upon us, that we would be witnesses. Power to be witnesses. Power not to run and jump over chairs and fall out and faint and do all this great stuff, but power to be a witness to him. And if he had to say that, if he had to give us the power, then it's evident that we can't do it on our own.
Right. That's good. That's good, Lisa. And necessary.
The strength that we need on the inside of us, not that spirit of fear, but that power. To do this in love, with loving kindness have I drawn you. So we go out and we do the same thing with loving kindness. We draw. And we know they can't come in unless the Holy Spirit already paved the way for them to come in.
Yes. That's good, Lisa.
So, yeah, I'm just excited about what he's of us to do, and we are all witnesses, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with the opening of our mouth, but the life that we live is a living epistle before men to see, so that they want to know, what is it about you?
Yeah.
And then we can tell them.
That's good. That's good.
I need to get in that line. I want to speak. I want to add something to that. I need to get in that line.
Okay, hold on one second, Bishop. Go ahead, Tanya.
Hi. Everything that's being discussed today is in this book that I'm reading, and I want to give a shout-out about it. It's called The Unqualified, Where You Can Begin to Be Great, and it covers everything that has been discussed this morning. It's by a guy by the name of Pat Schlesslein. I recommend it to everyone because it's scripture-based. It's amazing, and I'm learning so much. So it's called The Unqualified, if those who want to pick it up.
Can you post it in the victory room for us, Tanya?
Yes. Okay, I will.
Amen. Good job. Adrian?
The Lord showed me the scripture, the only way that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven is as a child. It's an interesting scripture because the more I look at it and from the different perspectives, it makes sense because if you think about what a child does, a child asks you questions. I mean, they ask you question on top of question on top of question. They ask you, what about this, what about that? And as adults, we stop asking questions and we start doing things the way we tend to think it should be done or go the direction we think we should go. Whereas God is our Father, and God is wanting us to ask Him questions, because as we ask Him questions, then He gets a chance to explain to us and show us which way we're supposed to go. But also, as a child has a love that surpasses understanding sometimes, because no matter how you treat that child can still love you. I've seen children be treated badly, and they love the person still. No matter what they were said to, how they were treated, they still loved. And that's that perfect love that God wants us to walk in, that love that He placed in us as a child. It's still there, but because of hurts and pains and things that we've dealt with in the past, we've locked it down, or we put it on protection, or we've put a guard around it. But God is saying, that's where I want you to go to. That's where I want you to return to, because as that love comes forth, and as you open up, allow that love to be opened up, because that's what He's doing, opening that love. Then we start walking as a child before God and going, okay, Lord, what should I say before I say this? What should I do before I do this? Should I go this direction? Should I not go this direction? Because if you're going to acknowledge Him in all your ways, that's talking to Him. It's that pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing means to talk to God. Be in conversation with Him. Ask Him questions. Ask Him for directions. Ask Him for what you need. Ask Him what you should say before you say it, because we're supposed to be harmless as doves. Why is the serpent harmless as doves? So as we ask Him, should I say this, then God can direct us. And we are now being the children that He's called for us to be, those children walking in love.
That's good, Adrian. I like that a whole lot. We'll expound in a minute. Juliet? If you're talking, Juliet, we can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I was just wanted to thank you for, you know, allowing the Spirit to speak to you this morning about evangelism, because that's something that I'm always talking about to my husband about, you know, being able to evangelize. That's always something I'm praying about. Lord, let me, you know, be a witness. And, you know, considering the hour is so near, you know, I have a heart for that, and just hearing it come from you just kind of reevaluate or revalidates what I've been feeling. Because sometimes I feel like, you know, I feel like a lone wolf in certain areas, especially, you know, at church, feeling like a lone wolf because I have this passion. It doesn't seem like, you know, people see, you know, they're there yet. And so, you know, I'm praying for that. But, you know, hearing that come from you and just being on this line, hearing other people speak, that I know I'm on the right track, and just keep praying for me, you know, as I go out. Because sometimes I do have that lack of confidence. You know, I believe for other people, but sometimes for myself, I don't, you know. And that's something I'm working through right now. So keep me in prayer. Hello?
Still here, Juliet. Dion, you still there?
Yep.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I said what I had to say. I hope you haven't heard it.
We did.
Okay.
So who's supposed to go next?
Next would have been Bishop and then Connie.
Okay. Bishop?
There's a possibility that Dion unmerged the calls accidentally.
Uh-oh.
She unmerged it?
Possibly, because I don't hear coming in.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. This is Constance. Did you guys say something? Because my phone did the fool. I had to hang up and call right back.
No, it's okay. Hold on 1 second. Bishop was in the middle of speaking. Hold on 1 second, babe. Go ahead, Bishop, and then you, Connie. Go ahead, Bishop.
Okay. You were talking about, you know, how the times that we feel a certain way, and it brought up the idea of the scripture that verified what you said. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind is not automatically given to us with its perfection. The potential for perfection is all the new birth is. It doesn't come with a ready-made package where your character is changed overnight, where your flesh is changed overnight. Now that you are born again, your spirit is renewed. You are in alignment with God. You're in agreement with him. Because when man was made in the Garden of Eden, he had a holy nature, but he didn't have holy character. The character had to be developed by plucking from the tree of life, but instead he plucked from the tree of death. So when we talk about the power that we receive from, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that power is what is available to you once you act on it and resist the flesh that's going to tell you you ain't saved.
So
you got to let this mind, because something's going to come against you.
Yeah.
When you got to walk by faith. When you got to walk by faith. When you got to pay a tithe and your money and your rent is due. You see. And, you know, you got to let this mind. So letting this mind is an action of the will that implies if there's going to be conflict about what you're supposed to do. And now that my nature has changed, I have power to do what my flesh don't want me to do.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah. And we can take some more time on it another time, but that's really been important. Because I was fooled for many years thinking that I was saved. It came with a ready-made package of victory.
Right, exactly. Me
that
too.
Wasn't the case.
Sadly mistaken, right? Sadly.
But I am empowered, and all I got to do is act and walk by faith.
Yes, that's good, Bishop. Yeah, that's good. I like it.
All right, praise the Lord.
Hey, man. Go ahead, Constance.
All right. Morning, everybody. I got on the call. I don't know what's going on today, but praise God. Only do it. That was amazing that you shared about the witness, because we are the only living Bibles that some people will ever read. But did you know that just because you're saved, you still need to be a witness to a witness? Because you never know, as the bishop says, you come to the ready-made package. You never know what somebody else is going through. So first, before I go into the scripture I wanted to share, I'm going to hang up real quick. I promise I won't tarry long. But I had to go to Bel Air yesterday to get a money order. And God took me specifically to this woman who I know I had offended her because I was just in my knucklehead son, because he lied to me and told me he made it there on time. And she said that it closed off at a certain time. So I went into this thing, you know, being haughty and prideful, and I had to humble myself. So God put me in front of her. I said, is your name Connie? Imagine that. She said, yes. I said, first of all, let me do this, because God brought me here specifically for a reason. I could have went anywhere else and got a money order, but he brought me here. And he brought me here so that I could apologize and repent to you. Because I know my child, and I know he lied. So for me, I want to ask you to forgive me. How dare I embarrass the kingdom with my prideful self? And right there at that moment, that woman, with tears began to well up in her eyes. Because it took a lot of courage and humility to apologize to somebody, and you know you was wrong. How many times do you do that? But then what about you being the only Bible that somebody else was on the side of you watching as a Christian, and you made the whole entire store bear witness to your witness? Because we have to give an account for that. And so we do this thing at my church called the Witnessing Institute. And you literally have to go through this process for like almost 3 months.
And I told you, we get up and we go knock on the doors, and we pass out, you know, little, they call them tracts, and we offer them salvation. And I remember this one particular time, they paired me with this lady, and it was nothing but flesh on this woman. And I had to literally stop her in the middle of the street because she told me how to be a witness for God. Mind you, she was inviting people to church, but I was inviting people to Christ. Big difference. I hope you caught that. She was inviting people to church, the building. I was inviting them to Christ. They are the building. Let him live inside of you. And we were clashing and butting heads at the same time, so I had to pull her to the side and say, the Bible says, how can two walk together, but they agree? If we sent them out two by two, we're going to have to agree on one thing and one thing only. Are you in this to build our church? I know. I have the vision. I understand it. That's what we're doing today. We're running with it. But are you in here to build his church? Because if we're not saving souls, then we don't need to be paired up. Because I can direct them straight to that building all day, every day. When I give them this track, the church stamp is on the back of it. Come on, help me, somebody. The Holy Ghost in power. Let me tell you something. You can invite people to your building, or you can invite them to for him to be in their building. This perishable, decayable flesh. Because when we go, when he went away to prepare a place for us, he went away to prepare a place for us to live in eternity with him. But the eternity is already inside of us when we accept him as Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is just a temporary living in a space. It's like a rent. We rent in this place. We want to be good stewards over it. So I say that to say your witness should always be a witness every day, no matter who's looking, no matter who's watching, because we have to give an account of that. We have to make sure that we're saving souls every day, all day, every day, even if it's just by the words we speak. Even if they never accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior right there on that moment, you plant the seed. Somebody will come and water the seed. And guess what? Somebody, just like when you plant a seed, you're going to have to go and shuffle that soil sometime. Somebody going to come and shuffle that soil if it was planted into good ground. Because just as the parable of Jesus Christ said, some's going to fall on good ground, and it's going to multiply. Some's going to fall on shaky ground, on stony ground, and it's going to get crushed out the minute it is planted. And it might not never even grow. Just make sure that you are a witness, period. And I wanted to share the scripture, Revelation 1 and 2. The angel of the church in Ephesus writes, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. I'm sorry. I got to be careful. I want to obey the house. But you know I can't help myself. Jesus, I love God. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and you have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that have hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What tree you eat from? What are you planting? Have you repented before you go out to witness? Have you gotten yourself together? Have you forgiven those who have sinned against you? Spirits are transferable. Get your love walk right. Get the law, get the forest out of your eye before you go try to get the toothpick out of your brother's eye, because that is your witness. They want to see Christ. They don't want to hear your eloquent speech and your eloquent words. They want to see God. We are living in a time where people need to see God more than they need your words. because you'll draw them. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Let lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up salvation. Lift up his Father. Let the Holy Ghost live, rule, and abide in you.
Amen.
And then you'll be sure.
Amen. Definite. Great word. That was awesome. Thank you so much, Constance, for sharing. I appreciate it, too. Every person that has shared and, you know, the discussion, I believe, is an absolute blessing in total. We are well past the hour at this point, but I think it was necessary, and I think it's an absolute necessary, consistent conversation, and I'm sure it's something that we'll revisit again soon, because it is a very pinnacle part of each and every one of our process. So with that said, because it's about 15 after the hour, I just want to say thank you again to everyone who joined the discussion. And in all honesty, I just pray that you go and you grow in love, that the conversation today had enough content to remind you that you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to the kingdom. You have a responsibility to those that have access to you to be that living epistle necessary. Amen. So with that said, I love you guys, but God loves you the most, I assure you. I pray that you go and you grow in love. Be Jesus somebody needs to see.
Love you
Bye,
all.
Bye, guys. Have an incredible day.